Podcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, this is The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You. An interview show where creative people talk about what inspires them to pursue their dreams and do what they love. And now, your host, Karis Thomas.
Welcome to this special episode of The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You. I'm Karis Thomas, your host. Thank you for joining us today and all this past year. It's been great fun starting up this podcast, and the team is super excited and looking forward to our next adventures. This particular podcast is a little different from our usual format. See, since we recorded it over the holidays, we had a number of friends around who were eager to join us and sit around and chat. So that's what we did. Some of them you've heard from on the cast before, and others you've just heard us talking about them. So what you're about to listen to is 10 friends sitting around a table, eating Timbits, having coffee and tea, and talking about the holidays, our memories, our traditions, our creativity, and of course, the Muppets. So we hope you enjoy. And please do join us on the web at www.theloversthedreamersandyou.com. On Facebook, it's pretty much just /theloversthedreamersandyou. We're it out there. And on Twitter, call sign @loversdreamers, the letter U. And we'll see more of you in 2013. Hopefully some of you in person. That'd be great. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you want to hear. We are eager to make it more fun and more engaging for you. All the best from the Lovers, the Dreamers, and You. Welcome all. Here we are back with the Lovers, the Dreamers, and You for a special holiday podcast. I'm your host, Karis Thomas, and behind the producer's microphone, as always, is Luke. Say hi, Luke.
Hello, everyone.
And with us today is our guest host. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
And the other guest host. Say hi, Matt.
Where am I?
You're in a special holiday podcast, Matt.
I am.
Thanks for joining us today. And as a walk down memory lane, we have former guest of the show, Britt Mumford.
Hooray!
Which is what she said last time. And other former guest of the show, Erin.
Hi.
Hey, that's short and sweet. Gotta love that. And brand new to the show, Joe Risha.
Hello, everyone.
And the wonderful Andrew.
Hi.
Andrew Rattazzi. And hasn't been on the show before, but has been mentioned dozens of times, the fabulous Kate Hotter.
It's me.
And her gorgeously wonderful husband, Nick. Say hello, Nick.
Hello.
I've embarrassed him already. Fabulous. I love it. Way to start the show. What a big group we have here today. And we're going to talk about all things silly, wonderful, holiday-related, memory-related, inspiration for the new year, all of that good stuff. And I'm just going to throw that out there, and anyone who wants to talk about what they got for Christmas or what they're doing over the next couple of days as we're in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. Anyone? Anyone? I know you had fabulous trips, some of you. Go, Kate, go.
I just found out my entire extended family bailed on our family Christmas because of the roads.
It's Canada.
And now I'm sad.
Aww.
Thank you. I feel better now.
Everyone out there in the internet, sigh for Kate. 3, 2, 1, go.
Thank you for your pity.
Yeah.
There we
also,
go.
Disclaimer, I'm going to try not to make gross, sick noises into the microphone, but I make no promises because I get carried away and ramble and then make gross noises into the microphone.
We'll the still end. Accept
I
you.
I love that this is our way of introducing you to our internet world that has heard
world.
About you 3 or 4 times already on the show. What about you, Carrie, sitting next to me?
I had an awesome Christmas. It was crazy busy. And I just got a microphone in the face. That just sounds so wrong. I spent the 23rd with Sean's family, the 24th with my dad's family, the 25th with my mom's family, 26th in the mall, which was terrifying. I honestly spent 15 minutes in the lineup for Victoria's Secret. I'm sad to say, but it was worth it.
Sorry, just to get in?
Yes, just to get in the store.
The question is, did Sean think it was worth it?
Oh, sexy.
Wait a minute. We had a disclaimer before we started, so we're going to keep this clean, folks. People who like Muppets listen to this
good
show.
Good old-fashioned family fun, okay?
Exactly.
But I think my best present that I got was this awesome knife and sword book, which I brought with me to the podcast for people to look at, and I've already gone through it going, Karis has that. Karis has that. Karis has that. Karis has that.
Because you're that much of a nerd.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Maddie Matt?
I worked for most of the holidays.
But you have 5 days off in a row.
I have 5 days off in a row now, which is unheard of in retail. And I'm currently moving, which is an absolute phenomenal way to start the new year, I think, in a new apartment, new beginnings. So it's going to be a good year. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it hasn't been that exciting this holiday season.
Except that you got to manipulate a puppet at the Muppet Christmas
Carol
showing.
Exactly, I earned my puppeteer badge.
Well, you got a badge?
Oh, yeah, I stitched it on already.
He made it himself.
Oh,
like his Christmas sweater.
Yes, my Christmas sweater was pretty awesome.
Can I just say manipulate a puppet sounds funny.
Sounds not PG.
Not PG, yes.
What do you want us to say?
I don't know. But
operate?
Operate?
Operate a puppet doesn't work.
No.
Play with your puppet?
That's bad too. So, Glammy, what about you? Did you get your puppet badge?
If we're trying to bring this back to like a clean place, I'm the wrong person to go to. I had an excellent Christmas. I was also at the Muppets Christmas Carol puppet show thing.
Yeah, you were.
Jealous.
Infused life into a puppet for the first time. I don't know. What are we saying?
I like that.
And it was actually really magical. I've never done anything like that before. So Karis lent me one of her little creatures, and I got to eat children's hair with it, and it was great. And Christmas has been, like, we were talking about how this is, like, in the midst of the 12 days of Christmas. I really feel like I'm doing 12 days of Christmas because I didn't really do anything on Christmas. It's just kind of started 25th, and it's gonna go like past New Year's now. So just because of family stuff. So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And okay, so Joe, you were jealous because you weren't here from Muppet Christmas Carol, but you were someplace lovely. So
I was. Andrew and I were basking in the sun in Cancun, Mexico, for a week for our honeymoon. We had a great time. We got to go visit the Mayan ruins on the day the Mayan calendar ended. It's okay, everybody. The snake god didn't come and reclaim all our souls. We're good. But we got a lot of sun, swam in the ocean, had wonderful food. It was a great time. And then flew back Christmas Eve just in time to watch the Muppet Christmas Carol before Christmas struck at midnight.
Ugh, Joe wins.
Andrew, do you concur with that? Because on radio, your smiling face doesn't really translate.
I do concur with that. It was a great time. We had so much fun, and it was just a great experience.
And we're a little bit having the 12 days of Christmas because we spent Christmas Day with my family, and Boxing Day as well, visiting a friend. And then we're going here, you talk.
We're going to my parents' place on New Year's Day. After
nice.
All the festivities and the midnight countdown.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do on the second? And we are going to go see The Wizard of Oz in Toronto on the 2nd of January. So we're very excited.
I'm so excited.
You sound Joe excited, Andrew. Yes.
I don't know if Joe's excitement is translating well enough.
Joe's going the day before I'm going. So we'll pass and high five.
I'll text you and be like, it's awesome.
Did you guys watch the show? How do you feel about the Dorothy that they
picked? We'll see.
I'd guessed from the first episode that's who they were going to pick. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, during the top 20, he was like, that's Dorothy.
Yeah.
I picked her.
No reality shows are real. Anyway. Sorry, spoiler alert, folks out there. Yeah, Nick's shaking his head. Nick, shaking your head translates so great on the internet. Would you like to comment?
Kate and I watched that show, and we picked our top three, and then they proceeded to really pull us in many directions that were not favorable to us. So we boycotted the show, and the Dorothy crystal ball was not spinning because of the entries that Kate put on her iPad.
I see.
That's right.
I see. Okay. Fair. Well, you know, I mean, they picked their winner long before. It's like, it's such a real show, like all real shows.
But hopefully the girls had a good experience, and I'm sure they will go on to more amazing things from this, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
And aside from the contest itself, I'm still really excited about the production. I've seen photos and stuff. It looks like it's going to be a real spectacle, something really fun to do over the holidays.
I'm excited to see it. Yeah. Hopefully sometime I'm seeing it.
And Luke and Aaron, how have your so far 12 days of Christmas been translating?
They're good. I've had a whole month off from school, so I'm super bored. But what did we do for Christmas?
Well, we actually spent like Christmas Day just like house hopping, trying to do everyone's family Christmases because it's kind of a... Nice try, Nick. Nick's trying to make it so you can't hear Kate, but I'm sure you can.
Sorry.
Yeah, like this. It's just been fun trying to do everyone's family Christmas. It was great getting involved in everyone's traditions and stuff. I don't know. This is the first year it hasn't been just my family, so it was kind of cool for me to go around and, you know, experience all that kind of stuff on Christmas Day.
Yes. What was the next part of the question?
I don't even remember.
Favorite gift. I got these earrings from Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
They're lovely. Yeah. Just so people out there in the world know that they're lovely.
Yeah, and she gave me The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Yes.
Oh, nicely done. So good. So good.
For Do you want Brock to let you know if it's stage worthy?
What? We're going to make, Legend of Zelda on stage would be the best thing ever.
I would agree.
Okay. Okay, yep. we can use that.
We can use
no, I still so want to do the Xena musical starring our very own Glammy. As
yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because I think that would just be incredible.
It would sell tickets.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Okay, guys, here's a segue.
That was
And
fantastic.
The fact that you pointed out makes it flawless.
I know.
Subtle.
That makes me happy. I wanted to know what everybody's favorite Christmas memory was. And the reason I asked this is because I wanted to tell a story first.
Carrie, why don't you tell us what your favorite Christmas memory is?
I'm going to. And it was actually... This is the best thing ever. It's the year I discovered I was deathly allergic to Christmas trees.
Oh, no.
This is a good memory.
Christmas trees or trees in general?
I don't know. I don't go around touching trees now because of this. Not in a dirty way. Stop making those faces at me. You're going to have to put a disclaimer on this one. Seriously. It's a very, very special Christmas. Anyway, I was spending Christmas with my dad and my dad always got a real Christmas tree. I don't get them anymore because I live in an apartment building and we're not allowed to have real trees. And I just sniffed into the microphone.
What are you, me? That's my
I know.
Job.
Just blame it on Kate. No one will know.
Okay, perfect. It was Kate.
Was not me.
And just to preface the story, the first thing we had done was check our lights, our string of Christmas lights on the carpet. And they were the really old-fashioned kind that get hot. And we melted little divots into the carpet. So that was the first part. This should be the first clue that it was going to be an interesting Christmas that year. So we just turned the rug around and hid the melted parts under the couch. So we put up the Christmas tree, and I normally wear long sleeves when I decorate the tree just because it's winter, it's cold. So we decorated the tree. It was beautiful and wonderful, and I changed because it was hot. I put on a short sleeve T-shirt, and I'm sitting there looking at the tree. My dad is washing dishes or something, and I'm looking at it, and I swear it's moving ever so slightly. I can see it moving like millimeter by millimeter. And you can just imagine it going. And my dad's going, what are you looking at? And I said, the tree is moving. I swear the tree is moving. He's like, it's not moving. It's not moving. And I said, okay. So I'm still looking at the tree. And he's like, stop staring at the tree. It's not moving. And I said, Dad, I swear it's moving. And then at that point, it gets to the point where it's going. And starts to tip even faster, and then it literally fell forward, and I leaped up and grabbed the tree and was holding onto the trunk, and I'm holding it up, and it's falling on me, and my dad's going, oh my God, it's actually falling. I'm like, yeah. So we had to come rescue me, and we pushed the tree back and kind of jury-rig it to the windowsill, And I pull my hands out of the tree, and I, from fingertips to shoulders, was covered in a nice big red itchy rash. So, and my dad's solution to that was to cover me in calamine lotion. Not pleasant. I was pink for the rest of Christmas.
What an amazing Christmas memory.
Yeah. It's the clearest memory of my life other than Christmas at Disney World.
Why can you tell that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why not Christmas at Disney World?
Christmas?
Because I've done it twice.
Oh, boring. Also, old hat.
Oh. But, it is true that it's like the... Because I've had lots of great Christmases, but the one Christmas that I remember most vividly is when I had like a temperature of 104 on Christmas Eve and was just like deliriously ill. But like the next day, just got to watch movies all day with like my dad and while the rest of my family went to like visit relatives and stuff like that. I really remember that being like the best Christmas. I don't know why. Like maybe because I was delirious, but but those are the ones that stick in your head.
That sounds fantastic.
Calamine lotion up your arms.
There was the time I accidentally set the coffee table on fire.
Oh.
Yeah, my mother will love this. Because, you know, it was one of those Christmases. I was in my early teens, and I had no money to buy presents. And thanks for that, Nick. And I don't remember why or how I came about it, but I'd made some sort of an arrangement. Because the thing was, this was just after Christmas, and my parents' anniversary is the 28th. So I was trying to make something for them, and I put together an arrangement with, you know, foliage and pine and stuff and some candles, and that was what I'd given to them. And, of course, you know, you have to light the candle, and I did that cardinal thing that you're not supposed to do. I walked away from it and forgot about it and went to bed.
Oh.
Yep. And we wake up in the middle of the night to the alarm, and my mom swears that my grandma was there and that she noticed it and woke us up, and I swear that she wasn't there. But I don't remember. What I do remember is us running downstairs and trying to find the source of it because of the shape of our house. We all came out of the bedrooms and we're all on the main floor going, "What the heck? Where is this? Why is the alarm going?" And then we discovered that it was downstairs. And I definitely remember Dad flinging open the door and picking up the little mat that was there, the little rug, and just flinging it onto the coffee table in order to put out the fire. Oh. Yep. You know,
that was great. Yeah, it was great. It was wonderful.
But they tell the story every year now. It's in order to, you know, try to embarrass me. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Well, see, they take
that's not embarrassing.
Christmas disasters and make them into movies. Isn't that like the whole Christmas vacation thing?
Yeah.
So we could take this all and make it into a movie and become famous.
I'd rather be famous for something else.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't have a Christmas disaster memory. Yeah, well, I think nothing really stands out like one specific year, but just every year, you know, having Christmas with my family, and then we lived in a duplex, and my grandparents were the ones who lived in the other half.
Oh, that's cool.
So we would trek all but 5 feet to their house, and then
we have to go visit the relatives. Oh God!
Trekking through all that snow in Northern Ontario is rough.
Snowshoes.
Sorry, I'm waving. And then my grandma, like, the coffee table was always full of candies and chocolate, and like 4 o'clock would roll around and then she would take it all away so that we didn't ruin our dinner. And I would always help my grandma cook. I was always grandma's helper in the kitchen, and we would make dinner, and it was always like meatballs and pierogies, and there'd be a roast. Like, it was a good old like Polish smorgasbord of amazingness. And then we would play cards afterwards or some sort of board game, sometimes Scrabble. And then we would just go home with all our presents and spend the night at home
all
and then go to bed.
Away.
What's that?
All 5 feet away.
All 5 feet away. Yeah, like it was literally like our garage doors were beside each other. So like we would just open them both up and you would just have to like turn the corner and then you were in their garage door and you didn't have to go anywhere. It was fantastic. It was perfect for whenever you needed to like bake and you didn't have anything. You just went over to grandma's house.
But in Timmins, like walking to your next door neighbor, that's like takes about an hour or so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow. Like, yeah, it took a while. You definitely had to still put your boots on. Like, you couldn't just hop around. Like, you needed to have boots on.
Not like Victoria, where there is no snow, right?
There is snow, about a dusting of it.
Yeah.
For about 10 minutes.
And nobody knows how to drive. on it. They panic.
It's amazing how one winter away from southwestern Ontario will make you such a wimp when it comes to snow. I'm not joking. I'm cold and whiny. I'm also sick. But
no, you're not.
I'm not sick like that, but sick like I'm not gonna demonstrate into the microphone why I was gonna I lost my train of thought. Thank you, Karis.
Snow and Victoria. The snowiness. Being cold.
Done.
The year that I lived there, there was actually a good inch of snow, and they actually did panic, and they needed trucks to come out from Edmonton to plow them out, and people were driving and sliding down hills, and it was just crazy. It was ridiculous. But there's some little street there or cul-de-sac or something. I think it's called Christmas Lane. And
we know that place.
Well, and I was like, what is the pressure? There has to be such intense pressure if you live there. And I went driving around at Christmas time, and I was like, only half the houses. So I don't know if it's changed, but it was like, if I lived on Christmas Lane, I would be like, you got to go. You got to give it. You know? That'd be crazy.
They probably tried super hard the first, 10 years they lived there, then got burnt out. Like, we can't do this thing. Can't give the pace anymore.
I would go to the city and say, you need to pay our bills for this because we didn't name this street. You need to help us out. That's what I would do. But, you know. So, aside from a honeymoon at Christmas time, do you guys have any other special things you want to share? Joe? Andrew?
Well, growing up, I don't know that I had a favorite Christmas or a favorite Christmas memory, but there's a lot of traditions.
Or a Christmas disaster?
No, I don't recall a Christmas disaster, but it could be suppressed. Maybe it'll come. but
group,
there were a lot of traditions that we would do every year. We always watch White Christmas as we decorate our Christmas tree. You always have to have the box of After Eights for after Christmas dinner, but which has now evolved into three boxes of After Eights. One as everybody arrives, a second one for a pre-dinner snack, and then the third one is maybe still some left after dinner. Things like that. And usually watching a version of A Christmas Carol when I was growing up, it was Alistair Sim's Scrooge on Christmas Eve, and then later it became The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Of course.
Which is associated with probably one of my favorite Christmas memories. When I was young, when Muppet Christmas Carol was coming out in theaters, it's funny because it's my mom's favorite movie, but she's always upset. She's like, oh, we never went to see it in theaters. Why didn't we go to see it in theaters? And I keep telling her, we did go see it in theaters. You just weren't there. My dad, it's her favorite movie, and she never got to see it in the theaters. My dad, actually, the year it came out, for some reason had me and my sister out on an outing alone. We went and were looking at the snow. It was a nice, freshly snow-covered day, and we went to, in Waterloo, in Kitchener, there's the Mackenzie King House. So we got to go see an old Victorian house, and they demonstrated some Victorian traditions like making candles and making traditional paper Christmas tree ornaments in the shape of cones, because that's where you would put the little presents and things from Santa.
Right.
So we did that for the morning, and then he took us to the old movie theater downtown to see Muppet Christmas Carol, and I remember distinctly seeing it. But my oldest sister, Heather, and my mother, unfortunately, didn't get to see it for some reason. I believe my oldest sister was working, and I was discussing with my mom this the other day. We think she must have been, wrapping the presents or something, and she said, get the kids out of the house, and she didn't know what she let loose, because it was one of the best times that I ever had with my dad.
So next year when we show Muppet Christmas Carol here again at the Palace, you need to bring her.
Absolutely.
Because not only will she get to see it finally on the big screen, but she'll get to be surrounded by puppets and craziness and maybe win a prize.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so sad that I missed it, and I really wanted to be there. But it is often associated with some of the best Christmas memories. And
Joe, your Christmas memory is so classy. Oh, like Victorian houses and stuff. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, it was
like
it was, and it was it, it really it really
let's make that movie.
Yeah, let's make that movie.
It really meant a lot to me because my dad, when I was growing up, really worked a lot, and it was very seldom that we ever got to do anything with just him, or that he actually did something that we actually liked. He was very it was one of those people who's hard at guessing it, you know. He thinks this is funny, and we're like, it's not funny, Dad. But the fact that he actually planned a whole day that was really enjoyable for me and my sister, it was really special.
Wow. I don't think we can top that. Andrew can top that. Right on.
I think I can top that.
Oh, here we go. Do we need sad music in the background?
Maybe.
I can add that later.
There's one year we were staying with Joe's parents, and they had a guest suite in their lobby, and we were staying there
I'm in their lobby?
Well, just off the lobby.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, this is a house.
It's a shared guest suite that you can rent out so that if you have people staying and you don't have a spare room in the apartment, you can rent out the suites so that people can stay in the building.
Makes more sense. I was thinking one massive house that's a bed and breakfast type thing with a, you know, the extra guest house out front.
So I'm giving Joe his gift and he's shaking it and he's going, what is this? It's like making a little swishy sound or something and he can't really quite figure it out.
Me, I'm thinking it's a tacky water globe and thinking struck out again.
Yeah.
But he didn't. We can tell by both your faces, which doesn't show on radio, but I'm telling the audience.
So he finally opens it, and it's jewelry cleaner. And there I get down on one knee beside.
Oh, I never heard this story before.
And I pull out the ring box, and
we
had our honeymoon this Christmas, so
there's that.
So he asked me to marry him, and of course it's Christmas morning, and I'm very confused and shocked and not expecting it, and my first reaction was, you've got to be kidding me. And then it was, yes, of course.
That is the most typical Joe Andrew thing. So Andrew does something like super romantic, and then Joe's like, really?
Yeah, first of all, I'm already discrediting him before I've opened the present, being like, yeah, no, this sucks. You've already done a terrible job, I can tell. And then he pulls it, and I'm just like, what? Nobody's this romantic. This is what's going through my head. Nobody is this romantic to have done this on Christmas morning. And the thing is, I go upstairs, and my entire family knows it was going to happen. They were all just waiting for us to come upstairs.
Yeah, that's one thing about Andrew. He plans something elaborate, but he's got to tell somebody.
He's got to tell everyone. It's a wonder it doesn't get back to me all the time.
He's good. We're good at that. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going around the table. Hey, Aaron, Luke, Christmas memories?
Well, I don't know. Like, my birthday's really close to Christmas, so a lot of the times they get mixed
in. Don't know what that's like.
No, I know. There's a lot of December babies in our group of friends. But, my birthday is 4 days from Christmas. And this year, a week before my birthday, my parents took me out to dinner. And we're out at dinner, and then my brother wants me to go back to his place for some drinks after dinner. I was like, okay, sure, I'll go back. And we're on our way back, and all of a sudden my mom's like, oh, we need to stop at Costco. I was like, what? Why? And so we're about to pull into Costco, and it's closed. So I was like, all right, sweet, we can just go for drinks. And Erin's with us, and she's like, oh my God, Liquidation World is open. So we just shoot across four lanes of traffic and go to Liquidation World, and I'm in there.
You're not
and I'm
stalling or anything.
Oh, not at all. And I didn't get it. We're in Liquidation World, and I'm like, why are we shopping? I am literally speechless. And we got toilet paper before we went to go. Yeah, so then, needless to say, we got back to my parents' house where my brother was, and I looked down the street, and I swear I saw Monica, one of our friends, get out of the car. I was like, and then I was like, oh, I'm on to something. Something's going on here. But the person turned and went the other way, and I wasn't sure it was her. And then we went into the garage, and they surprised me this year. So, this is my first ever surprise birthday party, so that was pretty awesome. And they presented me with a zombie cake because my birthday was on the Mayan apocalypse. So, and I was turning 27, so it had a bunch of the 27 Club zombies, mm-hmm. Kurt Cobain and stuff on it. So that's a pretty awesome memory for me this year.
And I think everybody here knew about that. Yeah. We all knew. We weren't all able to make it, but we were all there in spirit.
Yes, and sent you many zombie well wishes.
I would just like to point out how hard you tried to ruin the surprise.
I seem to recall a Facebook group having to be closed because somebody was snooping.
Yeah, I recall that.
Okay, she leaves her Facebook open, and there's a group named A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, off the screen. I was like, what the hell is this? Of course I'm going to ask what it was.
I'm not sure. In future, you now know not to do that.
I know it's my surprise party.
Well, generally, because of the holidays, December is the year, not is the month not to ask questions. But your birthday's also in December, so clue in, buddy.
And I'm not sure I've ever seen a surprise party go off. It always gets ruined, any surprise party I've ever been to. So good job, Aaron, for
making it. Oh, no, Andrew's didn't get ruined. We injured his back. He jumped so high.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was good. That was good.
But my back was already injured at that point. It just got aggravated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, other favorite Christmas memories. I don't know if I have one. My sister tricked me into telling her what her present was when I was little, and we got in very much trouble. And last year, my cat came down with my entire Christmas tree.
Oh, no. that's part of Carrie's disaster movie.
Yeah.
So we're making two movies. Carrie's making a disaster movie because, of course, she has to have things blow up because that's Carrie. And then we're going to make the lovely Victorian memory Christmas movie. We have two different films that we can make out of this. This is good.
We could do like a past and like present thing. Could work. It'll be like how the past was so much better than the present because the present involves like electricity and cats.
Oh, we can do a time travel Christmas movie. There we go. Amazing. Because everything's so terrible and the Christmas tree falls over with the cat and makes people allergic that, you know, you then you look into some Christmas globe and it takes you back in time.
Yeah. And someone would be like, Christmas was so much better back in the day.
Right.
Chin hands.
Which will appeal to Nick because his and my favorite film is Back to the Future.
Speaking of which, and actually I'm disappointed because I wanted to take a picture and bring it to you. I am going to be in receipt of two hoverboards recreated by Mattel. Very, very, very excited.
Do they work?
They actually make noise.
Well, that's
one thing. One is for hover? Put it away, never touch it again, so it makes lots of money in the future for me, and the other is so I can go to bed with it.
That is amazing.
You will get pictures.
In Toronto, I met Robert Zemeckis.
Really?
Which that's was, awesome. I like almost died. And then everyone's always like, "What? Who's Robert Zemeckis?" And I was like, what? Back to the Future, people. Get on board.
I love how we have flawlessly segued into people who have inspired us. Because was this two Christmases ago that the anniversary of Back to the Future, and you guys were over, Kate and Nick were over at my place, and they were showing like a marathon of Back to the Future all day, so we just left it on, Nick and I. And my loving husband is like, haven't you watched that six times? I'm like, yeah, so? He's like, well, I did buy you the car.
I'm sure you watched it more than six. Don't undercut yourself.
No, just that day.
Oh, definitely.
You had a DeLorean? Is that what you just said? You had a DeLorean?
Yes. Wow. It's the size of my iPad.
I was going to say a little DeLorean or a big DeLorean.
But the wheels move and the doors open and the flux capacitor fluxes.
They're going to have a Lego DeLorean Back to the Future in this year.
There's a lot of gasping coming from me. I'm sorry.
You're providing the audience
a bigger collection of crap, Joe.
I appreciate cool things. They don't all have to inhabit my house. But
I think that for this particular podcast, you need to take some photos of your collection so that we can just, expound to the world the size of your stuff.
Okay.
I mean, that's bad.
And that one came from Karis.
That came from me. I'm so sorry, world. That is
okay, to try and cleanse the palate here, what she's referring to is that I'm a huge collector of various things. My largest collection has to be of Wizard of Oz memorabilia, which is why I'm super stoked to see the new production. But I also have a fair bit of Muppets things that I've collected, Charlie Brown that I've collected, Disney memorabilia. I had some Star Wars memorabilia before George Lucas ruined the world. The world, not just the movies, the world. So I've got quite a bit of stuff, as Karis puts it.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe there's real, what are they, hoverboards? Because now I'm going to have to buy two of them too, because Sean's favorite movie in the entire world, other than Ghostbusters, actually Ghostbusters 2, just got to be specific there, ew. Ghostbusters 2, is Back to the Future. He has all of them on DVD and on Blu-ray. And when we eventually do go to Florida, he wants to go to Universal Studios specifically to pick up the DeLorean and all the other stuff. So Sean will also have more stuff to add to his collection of stuff. And now I'm going to have to buy two hoverboards. Thanks.
You could just buy him one.
No, he's going to want one to do the same thing. He's going to want to have one to keep and then one that he can sleep with.
I will send you the link because there's a limited release. So you need to check every day to see when they're going to release more orders because I think it's kind of closed right now. So don't tell him yet about it.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Sean, don't listen to this podcast.
Turn away.
But if I buy it for him, will I be the best fiancé ever?
Yes.
Yes.
That should be your wedding present.
Yeah. Well, which means they have to get married soon.
I told him I wanted a lightsaber for a wedding present.
There you go. That's the perfect.
That's good. I think that's good.
That's a fair trade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Although
yeah.
The surprise is ruined now, unfortunately.
He won't care. Okay. He'll have a hoverboard. It's all good.
No. When you get something like that you're really geeking out about, like, you really don't care.
That's true.
You really don't care.
Is that mixing genres too much? I guess it's not like a Star Trek, Star Wars thing.
Oh, stop.
Mix. Who cares?
Because one of Sean's Christmas presents to me this year was a Christmas ornament. It was, I was going to say Harrison Ford. Well, it is Harrison Ford. Han Solo riding a tauntaun. And it makes noises.
That's funny.
At your wedding reception, can you please chase Sean around with your lightsaber and he'll be like on his hoverboard?
We'll see. This is the thing. I have to get married.
What is the thing?
I have to get married before my stepsister does now so I can get my lightsaber because my stepsister Stephanie is getting married on May the 4th.
Oh.
And she asked me to be her MC, and she hasn't told me yet what she wants me to do. And I said, Stephanie, if you don't tell me, I'm gonna bring a lightsaber and just be like, May the 4th be with you.
I don't care if she tells you, bring the lightsaber anyways.
Well, I mean, like, Brock brought a gun, not a real gun, but a gun to Joe and Andrew's wedding.
He wasn't trying to assassinate us or anything.
Well, they didn't tell us anything they wanted us to say either, so we just.
And she knew when she picked you to be her MC that you're you, and something like that may possibly happen. Just like Karis and Brock.
It's exactly why we picked Karis and Brock. We were like,
and there would be weaponry. Of
yes, our wedding would not have been complete without the firing of a gun and a Muppet flash mob.
Exactly, and I cried at that Muppet flash mob.
It was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know, Christmas is a very big time of year where everybody's baking and doing all these exciting things. I want to know how all of you guys stay creative during the holiday season. It's really busy, and so you end up doing a lot of shopping and a lot of stuff, but you can be really creative and inspiring with your baking and stuff like that. So what do you guys do?
I don't know. I was just going to say Christmas is like a really easy time for me to be creative and do like creative gifts and stuff. Like that's how I stay creative, is trying to be creative with what I give and like put a lot of thought into stuff like that. And I don't know. For me, it's easy. And Brittany looks very skeptical.
No. I was just thinking that's great for you. This is a true story. This Christmas, because I'm a student now, I'm just broke. I was like, I'm going to make gifts for people. It's going to be great. And then I literally sat down to like draw something out for my friend has kids and I was going to make it for her kids. And drew something, an hour goes by and I was like, I can't draw. What am I doing? Like, I can't draw at all. Not even a little bit. Like, I know Aaron's an artist. So like that's, and you guys are both artistic people. And then a friend of mine was like, why don't you bake? And I was like, I can't bake either. I'm the worst. Like, I have like no domestic skills whatsoever.
You could have gotten those Pillsbury snowman cookies. All you have to do is like bang them on the counter and unwrap the thing and put
it
on the cookie sheet.
Yeah, but then it involves an oven and that's where everything goes wrong.
Raw cookie dough with a bow.
I'll just give them the Pillsbury like thing.
Well, that's a thing that you do now. All you do is you just take the ingredients for the dry ingredients for like a baked good, put it all in a jar and say, here's the recipe, add the wet ingredients and bake.
I should have talked to you, Joe. I should have talked to you.
Clearly, you need to talk to your gay friends when you are stumped for gift ideas.
It's so true.
Yeah, and Matt can make Christmas sweaters for you to give to people.
Yeah, Matt made a beautiful Charlie Brown Christmas sweater and it was adorable.
No.
It's amazing. He's going
to
show you.
And now we're going to have to put it up right with the podcast.
Yeah, so yeah, that's how I stayed creative this year, is I made my own ugly Christmas sweater.
It wasn't ugly.
It was really adorable and cute, but it was the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. So it was kind of sad all at the same time.
I know, he can market it.
Yeah, I could. People want to buy it and everything. There you go, Joe.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But if you're gonna market it, I don't think you can call it Charlie Brown.
No.
Christmas tree.
You could call it Sad Christmas Tree. Yeah. And everyone will know what you mean.
I'll pass it around. Everyone, look. Last year I made all my own Christmas cards, which took a long time because my mailing list is huge. The year before, I did baking. I was living in Alberta, and I was lonely and had a lot of time on my hands. So I ended up making Kama Sutra shortbread cookies for Christmas.
PG.
Yeah,
leaving it right there, but that's what I did with my Christmas baking. not going into any details, but
this podcast needs
every,
a 10-second
every year
delay.
I do something a little bit more
out there.
There I don't know. My Christmas sweater kind of brought it down to a nice classy level.
Every year I like to do drawings for my family. It started out really elaborate when I was younger. Every person would have their own unique drawing that would go with their gift. And
that's not at all like you.
No, I know. But it got to the point where everybody started, you know, getting married and having kids. And then there were just way too many of them. And I didn't have time anymore. And I was all like, ugh, drawing.
Well, you were doing shows exactly. And drawing things for those
and
people.
Moving away to London where I have, you know, more friends and less time and, you know, all that going on. So it's gotten down to what I do is I create one drawing and I will make copies for all the people in my family. And in previous years, what I've done is I'll do a black and white version and I'll give it to all the kids and they can color it in themselves.
Oh,
and then the adults get a colored in version. This year I didn't get, because I was away in Mexico, I didn't have time to do it that way. Everyone just got a colored in version, but I did a drawing of Dr. Seuss characters at Christmas time in celebration of our production, Seuss School the Musical, which all you listeners will have heard about from our lovely Danny.
Yep. Podcast number 7. Go back and listen, folks.
It's wonderful.
I was just thinking, I'm like, I can't remember if I did anything creative, and then I was like, wait, yes, I did. This year, I guess January, just after Christmas, I was randomly in Shoppers Drug Mart, and they
wonderful
had
place to shop, folks.
And they had all their Christmas stuff on markdown, as stores are wont to do. And they had these clear plastic Christmas ornament balls. Stop making that face.
See, she said balls.
ornaments.
Yeah.
No, but
anyway.
We're sorry, listeners. It's this group.
Anyway, and they had
it's
5
Kate.
Of them.
It's Kate. It's all Kate.
And they were on for $2 each, and I'm still talking, so listen. So I bought all of them. There were 5. And then this year, because Sean and I were in New York City this summer on a vacation, and also I was doing stage combat and Sean was being a tourist, we went to the Toys R Us store in Times Square, and they have like a 3-story Ferris wheel. And I was really hoping we'd get to sit in the Barbie car because they're all the cars are themed after different toys, but we were in the Toy Story car. And so Sean was okay with that because he didn't really want to sit in the Barbie car anyway. Anyway, we got our picture taken there and we bought the prints. And long story short, I put those pictures in the Christmas balls ornaments with New York themed paper on the back of them and gave them to my family. And his
aww,
family.
Nice.
That's cute. Like that's ornaments. A really nice
and
idea.
Also, I have pictures, so we can put that on the website, too.
Yay. Oh, can we put a picture of my Christmas sweater?
Yes, we have to.
Yeah. Yay!
Erin. Yes.
I just want to explain. Luke and I have had this argument all Christmas month about whether it's called Christmas balls or bulbs.
Oh.
It's bulbs, right? Yes. Thank
no.
You,
no, it's not.
I would
no.
Say they are balls.
Yeah. No.
Bulbs are like light bulbs.
Yeah, light
yes.
Bulbs.
Yeah.
Bulbs.
No.
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 No. No. No. Look it up.
I did, and it said bulbs.
I do believe that in olden days of yore, so if both of you are still living in 1950, they are referred to as Christmas bulbs. Like if you're on, you know, Leave It to Beaver, I Love Lucy, they're decorating their tree with Christmas
what
bulbs. But if you're in the new millennium, I think they're Christmas think balls.
Oh my God.
Joe is my favorite. Joe always comes in with like, in 1947, the term Christmas bulb was originated.
Like, this is because, thanks, you know, Joe. I'm basically Linus. I'm the person who's going to come in and bum you guys all out and remind you what the true meaning of
wow.
Christmas is under a spotlight
wow.
While you guys are all being
lights,
crass commercial.
Please. I can't believe that we've had the word want and your in this book. Wow. Okay, so my Christmassy creative thing that I did was I have 5 nephews. And 5 nephews, 1 nephew is hard to buy for, but 5 is tough. When they range in age, it's from 7 to 17. And so I was trying to figure out what to get for the 15 and 17-year-old. Because they have everything, and their parents have everything, and they don't want not want, want for anything. and, you know, you want to be the cool aunt. And my husband and I, we decided long ago that we would never give them anything that required batteries, that that we always wanted to give them something that required imagination. That would be us. And so I don't know why I was driving around and it just suddenly dawned on me, I should go get them some graphic novels. So I went to, thank you. I went to the comic book store that's near the palace here, and boy, was he helpful. Everybody needs to go there. I wish I could remember the name of the store.
Neo Tokyo.
No, it's beside Neo Tokyo. It's a comic book collector.
Comic book collector. Yeah. Oh. They're both, they're beside each other, but I went to comic book
collector. That's where the Evil Dead Society is, correct?
I don't know.
Is that the one?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyways, I went there, super, super helpful guy, and he, you know, I had very little details to tell him because I don't know what movies they watch. I don't know, you know, what they're into and stuff. So I'm like, well, they're 15 and 17, and I know that they're gamers, and I know, and like, that's about it, right? And I wound up getting them four different books, three that are the first episode in a series and one that's a standalone. And when they opened it, I was like, guys, I haven't addressed it. There's four of them. You read them all. I don't care. And the oldest one sat there for like a good 15 minutes reading through them while everybody else was opening other gifts. So it's pretty cool. I was pretty impressed. And the little guys, who are 10 and 7, their moms are taking them to Disney World in February. So yeah, so we ordered them a Disney gift card so that they can go around the park and whatnot. And I was like, but that is like lame. You can't show up and give 7-year-olds a gift card. And I'm driving to work like one of the last days before the holidays. And I was like, that's it. I'm making them puppets. They might not like it because they're big video game kids and stuff too. Like they seem really sophisticated. I was like, well, if they don't like it, that's fine. I'll have three extra puppets. I'll tell their moms, like, if they don't use them, if they really don't want them, you let me know because I will take them back. Right. Well, I put them all in one bag, and they pull out the tissue paper, and they went nuts. They went absolutely nuts, and they had them on all night long, and I was worried because I didn't say, you know, this one's for this kid, this one's for this kid. I was like, let them decide, and they decided, like, within seconds. There was no fighting, no nothing. They all knew, this one's mine. This is the one that's mine. And it was just amazing.
That's
and then
really great.
Moms and dads were trying them on, and the older nephews were trying them on. And suffice it to say, I have a request for three more.
That's amazing.
So yeah,
your business idea.
I would get like pay you to make them for my nephews.
Okay.
Seriously.
But that's
you won't say no to money.
Yeah.
No. I won't say no to making new puppets.
Because I know it's like the material and stuff costs money, and your time. Yep. Is money.
And I will gift wrap them for you. That's
thanks,
my new
guys.
Thing.
I don't have to do a single thing.
Next year, I decided because I have to wrap all Sean's presents, I'm going to open like a service and have people like give me their presents and I'll wrap them.
Nice.
That's great.
You should set up a gift wrapping window at the original kid's office.
Brilliant.
but getting back to your story, Karis, I love that because it happens a lot at my family. My family's generally very competitive. We love games and things like that. So we have an unspoken competition amongst the kids. You have to give the gift that the kid loves the most and has to open immediately when they're done opening all the rest of their presents. It's the one that they want to play with right away.
Right.
And of course, every year we all compete to see who's going to win with each kid. We thankfully did win this year with one, and I think you'll appreciate it. Our little niece, Claire, who you met at our wedding, the Muppet fan, we got her a huge Kermit the Frog head-shaped pillow.
Yes.
Her dad pulled out the tissue paper and she just went, Kermit! And like went nuts and would not let go of it the whole rest of the evening. The only present that possibly beat that was the present we gave to you, which was a Muppet's throw blanket.
Yep.
And you were like, what is this? It's soft. It's squishy. Is it a throw? And it was like, you kept guessing the present as you're opening it before you even knew what it was. You're like, it's a blanket. And you're like, it was kind of like my thing with the ring. It was like, oh, it's a blanket. And then you were like, why would he give me a blanket? I could see the wheels going in your head. You're like, it's a Muppet's blanket. It's the Muppet's blanket that I've heard about and I couldn't find anywhere. And you were like so excited.
Yep.
And we were not expecting you to like it that much.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Yep, I'm a geek. Yep. It's on display in the Muppet room at my house.
Available at Walmart.
Well, and
why are you like giving
nobody here works at Walmart?
We're not getting paid for advertising here.
I think that we can go to these companies now.
We spent a good half hour with those two gifts, your gift and Claire's gift, in our hand, going, so which one goes to which one?
Well, you chose wisely.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is which?
I love it.
All right. So back to the original question, how do you stay creative at Christmas? We didn't get answers from these two.
I think Kate might be dead.
Kate's napping over here.
I have died. I'm in a really comfy random chair that keeps putting me to sleep. It kind of rocks me gently. A lot of people are talking and I doze. It's actually really nice. I don't really stay creative at Christmas. No, I'm listening to all your awesome stories and I'm like, I don't really do anything.
What about gift wrapping? Do you enjoy that? Is that something that you?
No.
Nick's giving a look that's like no.
I tried to throw you a bone and you totally threw it right back.
There was one year where I made ornaments and that was fun.
There you go.
That's creative.
Yeah. What were?
Thanks for bringing us.
I was hoping that question would pass us by.
Nick goes online and looks for really awesome geeky things to order. That's creative.
Sure.
That's a lot of time spent. Oh, yeah. You got to do that.
It's better than a gift card. You put time into it.
Hey.
Sorry, everyone who bought gift cards for people this Christmas.
Hey, that's fun. I like gift cards.
Gift cards are actually a really good gift for like if you don't know at all what to get people.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Erin.
I love gift wrapping.
Yeah.
A lot. Luke thinks I have a problem.
I saw her open a gift and rewrap it. What? I saw her open a gift and rewrap it.
When did I do that?
Why?
Maddie's gift. I wrapped it and then you were like, no, and took it and rewrapped it on me.
I don't remember this.
You were in a blind rage.
So clearly the woman needs a gift wrapping room.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
that seems also going
in
the movie.
Also, you give a lot of paintings for gifts. Like.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah.
So. And drawings. And me and my sisters and my mom and my niece, basically all the women, had a baking night the week before Christmas sometime. That was fun. Yeah. I'm not a good baker, though.
That's why the other ones would have to be there.
Yeah, I just sort of mixed the stuff together and watched everyone else do the hard work.
But it's the collaboration, right?
Yeah.
The time spent together.
See?
Bringing it back. None of the dirty stuff. But you had to go and remind us.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, so as our last thing, favorite part of the Muppet Christmas Carol, or if you don't want to talk Muppet Christmas Carol, you can talk any Muppet Christmas special if you want to bring that up. But I know that everyone here has seen Muppet Christmas Carol, so favorite part, anybody who wants to go first.
I'm gonna go with the creepy part when the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, I think is what it's termed as. The first time you see him, I like, when I was a kid, it made me cry. And now as an adult, I'm always like. So that's my favorite part because it's so creepy and you don't expect it.
Nice. Yeah. Erin?
I don't know why this one part is sticking out in my head. I think it's because you pointed it out last time we watched it. Mm-hmm. But the part where Gonzo grabs Rizzo and starts wiping the wall with him.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Andrew?
I think One More Sleep Till Christmas.
Aww.
I think.
Aww.
I really like that song.
I love that song.
I like, well, because we've already mentioned before that Andrew, if he was a Muppet, he's Sam the Eagle. So I have to pick my favorite moment is, it is the American way. Sam. It is the British way.
Good, Sam.
And then he looks around. What's my next line?
What was that? Yeah. Is there someone just here?
Yeah.
Maddie?
I've recently just saw the Muppet Christmas Carol for my first time.
What?
Oh, shame!
But it was here at the Lovely Palace Theater. Couldn't have been greater.
That was the first time you saw it?
Yeah. Don't hate me. But
Matt needs to have a copy of it so he can watch it every day from now till next Christmas to catch up with the rest
exactly.
of us.
Exactly. my favorite part is when Scrooge goes to, is it Mr. Ratchet that Kermit plays?
Oh, boy.
Cratchit.
Bob
Cratchit.
Oh my God.
Not a new story, by
the way. I was close.
Ratchit.
Oh, I was thinking Nurse Ratchet. I'm like, what? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Oh, no. Kermit the Frog and Nurse Ratchet shall never meet.
Unless Piggy plays Nurse Ratchet
in a comedy
version.
No, we're not going there. No. Okay.
All right. And it's after like Scrooge just has his like revelation,
change
and he shows up and he's like, "I'm gonna raise your salary
I'm gonna raise you
right off the pavement." And yeah, because that's totally something I've done that before, where somebody has said something good and I got enraged and then I stopped myself. I'm like, "What?" It's totally me, and I just absolutely killed myself when that happened.
So does that mean if Andrew's Sam the Eagle, you're Miss Piggy?
Yes.
Oh my!
That's hilarious.
Although I have, there are actually pictures of me on this stage from the wing where people say that my profile looks like Sam the Eagle.
Okay.
I think it was Iolanthe, and someone took a picture and was like, "Oh my God, Matt is Sam the Eagle," and snapped the picture while I was on stage.
Well, appearance and personality do not need to match.
No. But my profile.
Yeah, because I don't think you look like Miss Piggy either.
Thank you.
She's gorgeous.
And Matt isn't gorgeous?
In a different way.
I would have to say, like, any part with Gonzo in it, I love. But I, like, this, watching it at the Palace really, like, solidified to me that When Love Is Gone, because in the Blu-ray edition, just as a heads up for anyone who's thinking of purchasing the Blu-ray, they cut out When Love Is Gone from the movie. Yeah. And not having it, I was like, it's not the same.
Okay,
it's
okay,
not
the let's same. Explain in case there's people who are not so diehard as me and don't know the history of that. In the original theatrical release, When Love Is Gone is not there. Okay. They filmed it and it was there and Brian Henson had it. And then he's like, it feels like it really slows down at this point and I'm worried about kids' attention span. And so they cut it out.
Yeah.
So in the original theatrical release, it's not there. And in the original VHS, they put it back because he felt that people are at home. They're in the comfort of their home and they might slow down and they'll have the patience to watch it. So the reason we all feel that it's a part of the movie and so ingrained in part of the movie is because we've watched it 8,000 times.
On VHS.
On
yeah.
VHS and then later on DVD, it's there as an option.
Mm-hmm. Oh! So
on yeah. DVD, you have to watch the full screen version, which was taken from the VHS. It has the when Love Is Gone.
Right.
Whereas if you watch the widescreen version, that's the original theatrical version,
and
so it doesn't
there.
Have that scene. So you have to pay attention when you select which one, otherwise you're going to get halfway through them when you're going to be like, oh, poo-poo.
Yeah.
And the flaw in the Blu-ray release, shame on you, Disney, is that they didn't even include it as an option.
Yeah.
It should have been there as a deleted scene or something like that, because they certainly have the technology and the capability to do that.
And it's one of those scenes that, like, as a young kid watching it, and maybe I don't know if everyone feels this way, but definitely as like a young girl watching it, it's kind of like a train wreck. Like, you know it's coming, you're like, I don't want it, and then you're like, no, I want it, and then you're just like crying when he like joins in singing with her, when like
right.
Michael Caine sing, you're like, oh
right.
no
right.
crying, and then it like gets better, well, kind of gets worse and then gets better.
And so. And amongst the real diehard Muppet fans and like on the forums and whatnot, that particular song is one of the most controversial
really
Muppet moments that there is, because people really? Either love it or hate it or love to hate it, or you know, all of that stuff.
Should we vote here
whether or not we want it to be there?
Yeah.
Okay, so Luke, yes or no for Love Is Gone?
Oh god
no.
If
you
say no, we kill you.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Yes, I want it there, because Kate will kill me.
That's right.
Hold on, what part of the movie is that?
When Love Is Gone? I don't think it was on the one we watched, because we watched a widescreen version.
Oh. It's like when,
the past when they're young.
Yeah, when Scrooge's girlfriend is like, you loved me once, but now the love is gone. And then she sings a beautiful
that
song.
One. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Andrew?
I like the song, but I agree that it does slow down the
pacing
of the movie. So I'm going to say no for that reason.
Okay.
Divorce. I'll
song.
Be singing that very shortly.
Yes.
New Idol has replaced me. A bad version of the film Idol.
Okay, so in other words, you want the song.
I want the song.
Matt?
No comment.
Because he doesn't know. He's only ever seen.
Matt.
That's right.
I like,
we need to fix that.
I'm so astonished that that was the first time you'd seen it, Matt.
That's okay. We fixed him.
It's okay. He saw it.
He
saw it.
He was broken.
I'm obviously a yes in that camp. Mm-hmm.
My 10-year-old self says no, but my current self says, of course.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm married to Kate.
No.
And Kate?
I hate it.
Liar.
I'm joking.
Liar.
Oh, my God. I'm joking so much.
Carrie?
I don't know. I think I have to see it again to judge.
Wow. And Brock would be astonished at all of you, because this is his favorite song.
It's his so favorite good. Moment.
I used yeah. it as an audition song. It's such a good
I
song.
I used it as yeah. an audition song too one time. High five. Here's the thing too, is that in the closing credits, they play like a pop version of it.
Oh,
even
awful.
In like the Blu-ray. And I was like, this is just, it's like you've included it in a way.
Yeah.
But like the but worst the, version.
Also the last song that they sing with everybody gathered around the turkey is a reprise of it. And
exactly.
how can you have a reprise if you've cut out the original?
That's exactly
and,
how I feel.
And in my opinion, I don't see why they couldn't go back and edit it. It is two verses and a bridge and a chorus. Just edit out one of the verses
yeah, just
if you
want
to make it shorter. Like, mm-hmm. come on. You mm-hmm. have the technology. Anyway, Nick, what is your favorite part of the film?
I try to think of a more adult one, but my favorite one, and I'm going to... I'm worldwide famous for my Muppet impersonations, but I'm not going to grace you because I can't think of the exact line. But when Kermit asks for another shovel of coal, and then the rats go in their Hawaiian...
Heat wave!
Yes, exactly.
This is my island in the sun.
Thank you for doing it.
Exactly how it. Would the how would they like to be suddenly unemployed?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's my turn.
I like the holiday scat.
With
beating, beating, doom, boom, dee, da.
That's so cute.
Season to be jolly and
joyous. Fa la la.
That's my favorite. I love that so much.
Uh huh. Carrie?
I'm actually going to be different in this one because I remember watching the Muppet Christmas Carol on the big screen and noticing something and mentioning it to Karis and going, oh my God, I didn't notice this before and now I've totally forgotten what it is. But because I can't remember what it is. Muppet fan.
It was somebody in the background.
Yeah, and now I don't remember.
No. Was it the cow, Carrie?
The Possibly cow. The cow. I do love when the cows dance. That's just hilarious. I'm going to pick something totally random. But Karis actually introduced me to Muppet Family Christmas, and I watched it for the first time at her place. And my favorite, I have two favorite parts.
You're welcome.
The first one is the recurring icy patch. Watch out for that icy patch. Wah! Love that part. And then the other part is when Jim Henson comes on washing the dishes. It was awesome. Because he was there. And
Rocket, right?
Yes. And he was there. I was like, oh my God, it's Jim Henson. In that voice.
And if you think about it, in that scene, it's Jim Henson with Steve Whitmire, so it's Kermit the Frog with the future Kermit the Frog.
That's awesome.
What?
Steve Meta. Whitmire was Sprocket?
Steve Whitmire was the front of Sprocket.
Yeah. Awesome.
And the voice of Sprocket. Yeah.
Do you know who played the butt?
yes. Red. Red Fraggle. Yeah. Yeah, the puppeteer who plays Red
Fraggle.
I'm
the Gasper. I'm sorry, folks.
Yeah. So... Yeah, and it was interesting because I've seen footage of them talking about how they had to play Sprocket, and sometimes Sprocket's tail end would not be particularly close to Sprocket's front end for forced perspective in order to make it look right, and yet she would have to work as to how the tail would wag so that it would look natural and make the dog look alive, and even though the dog is, you know, putting his hands up on the counter and stuff like that, which is things that dogs don't often do, and grasping their dish and smacking the counter and things like that. And I cannot possibly answer. I can't answer because it's one of those things where from the moment the little bug flies across the screen and outlines Jim Henson and Kermit's face until the credits roll at the end, if you like this, read the book. You know, a scene happens and I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. And then the next one, oh, this is my favorite. And the next one, oh, this is my favorite. So, forget it. My favorite thing, though, was when I went to see it in the movies when it first came out by myself. I went by myself for a number of reasons. I was new in Toronto. I didn't know a lot of people. But I also was very, very worried that Kermit wasn't going to be right. Because this was 2 years after he'd passed away. So my very, very favorite thing was the minute he started to speak and when he started to sing, how relieved and how happy I was that he was correct enough and that meant that he was going to keep going and live on. That's the best. That was the best. And Carrie just gasped, so she needs to add.
I remember what it was.
Okay, what was it?
It was the fact that the snowman in Muppet Family Christmas
yes.
and in Muppet Christmas Carol, the one that loses his head is the same one.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, it's the same one. Again, in that voice.
Why?
And while we're still on the topic, I do have to give honorable mention to Bean Bunny singing, good King Wenceslas looked down on the feet of Stephen.
So cute.
Or as I now call him, Jelly Bean Bunny.
Because that's what the audience gets. Oh, my heavens. And if you do own the film with the commentary and you haven't listened to Brian Henson's commentary, if you know, because a lot of people don't like to do that, do it. Do it, because it's totally worth it. And he tells you all kinds of really cool things, like having Muppets trying to close and lock a door is really freaking difficult. Or having Muppets blow out candles, which, you know, you look at it and go, oh, Kermit just blew out a candle. Yeah, cool, that's neat, but hang on, think about it. Yeah. Think about it, folks.
It's like the first episode of The Muppet Show where he's drinking the glass of milk and he's like, think about this, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, love it, love it, love it.
And just from like a nerdy film point of view, I have to say the orchestration, not even the songs that they're singing, but the orchestration in the non-singing parts, some of the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like I hear that and I think of Christmas every time, and just how chilling it is with like when the Marleys go away and that, you know, I just have chills thinking about it, you know. It's just beautiful, beautiful orchestration, and yeah, love it.
Thank you, Jim Henson Company and Disney and Paul Williams and all the rest of you fabulous people. I think I need to go watch it again.
I need to watch it with the commentary.
Yes, you do.
Let's go right now.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks once again for dipping in and listening to our special holiday 12 Days of Christmas crazy podcast with too many people around too many microphones.
It's monster sized.
Monster edition. And thank you for tuning in, folks. And we're going to segue to probably something from Muppet Christmas Carol. And if you feel like staying and listening to our craziness, please do. And we'll be back in the new year with more fun and more adventures. And please follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook and send us your thoughts and ideas, because we'd love to keep the podcast growing and expand it to see what you'd like to hear. Thanks. See you again on the Hours, the Dreamers, and you.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
A cup of kindness that we share with another.
A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother.
In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear.
And it is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is make it last all year.
It's in the giving of a gift to another,
a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
Street corner choir, it's going home and getting warm by the fire.
It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It's true wherever you find love,
it feels like Christmas.
It feels like Christmas.
Thanks for joining us at The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You. We'd love to hear from you, and you can do that at thelovers.thedreamersandyou.com or by finding us on Twitter or Facebook. This has been a Luke Bainbridge production. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next time for another edition of The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You.
Hmm.
Life's like a movie, write your own ending. Keep believing, keep pretending. We've done just what we've set out to do. Thanks to the lovers, the dreamers, and you.
Flame is over.